Proverbs, please, chapter 6. And, of course, when most of you hear that, you know where I'm headed. And Proverbs 6, and we're going to preach and talk a little bit, just a few minutes tonight, on God's hate list. God's hate list. We like to hang around God is love, and He is. He is. God is love. The Bible says that, right? For God so loved the world that He gave. True love gives. But yet, you can study your Bible and you'll find out there's things God hates as well. And I've made this statement. No, I've not arrived in any area. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended. I say amen. I've not arrived in any area ever. But yet, we find in the text, and I try to teach and try to live, we ought to love what God loves.
That's right.
And we should hate what God hates.
That's right. That's right.
But we're in a place now where we are back up in compromise, and we will kind of dislike what God hates.
Right.
I said we, and I don't have a mouse in my pocket. Amen. Some of y'all got that, some of y'all didn't. We will back up, and a lot of it's our own compromise in our own heart. Some of it is fear of the brethren, and some of it is just fear of the world or what, you know, we don't want to be ostracized in these days. I had a lady call me today, and she was needing some encouragement. She was in a funeral, and there was some ungodliness going on in the funeral. And I won't say anything else, but yet she felt like she compromised by not walking out. And so I said, all we can do is ask the Lord to forgive us and you know, beat yourself up. Just can't, you'll know better next. Some things that went involved, and it caught her off guard. And it was some things that were really ungodly as far as music and different things. And we can't govern that as far. I can govern if it happens, if it goes on here. I can't at the funeral homes. But yet, that don't mean I can't say something. Yeah, and so we live in a time now where the devil tries to get us with fear, and we'll just start kind of privately hating what he hates. And you say, preacher, that is a strong word, hate. It is. To me, it's one of the strongest words in the Bible. One of the strongest words, you know, because the Bible tells us, as far as people go, as far as our brethren go, we can't love God and hate them. If we say we hate our brother, how can we say we love God? We hate our brother who we have seen. How can we even love God whom we have not seen? And so it's a strong word to me. Growing up, you know, your parents had, I'm going to get to the message. Your parents had certain things. One of the words that would get us and my family growing up an instant whipping was for me and my sisters wanting to call each other a fool. My mama didn't like, she didn't put up with that. You know, she said, the Bible says don't call nobody. And you said, well, in this context, she just said, the Bible said don't say it. We better not say it. But however, we've got to the place where we won't make those stands. But anyway, let's read the text and let me get into the text. And this is God's hate list. The Bible says these six things. Six is the number of man. These things are what the flesh does. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Now, that word abomination, something loath or which causes horror. And the Bible calls some other things an abomination. And of course, Leviticus 18, you can read one. And you can read one in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. Things that God calls an abomination. And again, we love sinners.
Amen.
We love sinners.
That's right.
Jesus loves sinners. But we hate sin. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Here they are, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So really, what we have in here, Solomon is writing under divine inspiration to his son, Solomon. Solomon is writing to his son. And he is instructing him in daily matters. He's instructing him in quality of life, not quantity of life, but quality of life. Things that will benefit him, not just spiritually, but also mentally, also business. He's covering a lot of ground here for his son. And so he's really giving him a simple Christianity 101. Says, so let me let you in on some things that God hates. And I want you to see it very clearly. God hates that seven's a number of perfection. God perfectly hates these things. And if the Lord perfectly hates these things, you and I should do the same. Perfectly hate these things. We don't, and when I say hate even the thought of these things getting into our heart. And they can get into our heart if we're not careful. Folks, you understand that we're saved and washed in the blood, but our flesh did not get eradicated. Amen. The biggest problem I have is the one I stare at brushing my teeth every morning. Amen. It's not my wife. It's not my children. It's not you. It's me. In me that's within my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And all of us, you know, another word that's getting thrown out there now from a lot of people is narcissist. Narcissism. And that's a true thing. But let's be honest. We all have to fight that. We all have to fight that. The flesh wants to be number one and be the victim of everything.
That's right.
Maybe it's just mine. And I have to fight that. I have to go against that and say, whoa, that ain't right. Big boy, you ain't arrived. You know, just because someone disagrees with you, all of a sudden they become the enemy. Just because someone, I'm not talking about Bible doctrine, I'm talking about just in general. It's because they don't see it like you. They become awful and you're the poor little victim. Now, we all will point fingers, and I know there's some humdingers that's like that, but that tendency is in the flesh. That tendency is in the flesh. And you have to walk in the Spirit. You have to walk daily and make a personal decision. Living holy doesn't come natural to us.
That's right.
Folks, you got to get a hold of that. Living holy does not come natural for the believer. We have to get up every morning and say, Lord, I want to live right today. And I want to make up my heart and mind with your help and grace that I'm not going to do these seven things. And I'm not that sin which doth so easily beset me. Lord, if you give me strength today, I'm going to make a decision that I'm walking by that. I'm not doing it by the grace of God. We jump up and go to work, go to school, go to breakfast, go get coffee, whatever we do, and we never consider that our flesh is weak. And in the flesh, things can happen. But notice the very first thing. Again, the Lord said these things that I hate. Hate is an emotional attitude towards persons or things which are opposed, detested, despised, with which one wishes to have no contact or relationship. Hate literally means to exclude from fellowship. What God hates, we are to exclude from our heart and our life.
Right.
What God hates, an emotional attitude toward persons or things which are opposed, detested, despised, with which one wishes to have no contact or relationship. What God hates, we ought to run from it. We ought to run from it, and we ought to pray about it. Folks, again, I go back in my heart and mind to the book of Hebrews about laying aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And so the first thing the Lord mentions, now I wouldn't debate it, and I don't know if these things are in order of importance. I think the Lord thinks the same about all seven of them. And the first one he mentioned was a proud look. A proud look. Folks, arrogance and pride does have a look. Countenance. From a man's countenance, you know. I mean, growing up, I knew by my daddy's countenance if he was happy or mad. My kids will say amen to that. By their countenance, you'll know them. You'll know what's in someone's heart by their countenance. And so the Lord says, I hate anybody that walks around with a proud look because their heart is full of pride. Pride, it means an unreasonable conceit of one's own superiority and talents, beauty, wealth, accomplishments, rank, or elevation in office, which manifests itself in loftiness, distance, reserve, and often contempt of others. Pride, the Bible said, go before destruction and haughty spirit before a fall. Most men battle pride in the heart, but when it manifests itself in our countenance, it's got control of us for sure. It is alive and well. Folks, you know, we can think, you know, I have that issue under control, but it'll just take one insult, one dirty look, or one that didn't brag on you that you thought should, or thank you that you thought should have, and we'll find out that pride is still creeping around. But the Lord said, I hate it. Folks, if there's a prayer we ought to be praying, it's that God give us grace and strength to hate these things just like God hates them. To despise these things, because all of these things, none of them have the characteristic of Christ. None of them exhibits brotherly love and kindness. The law of Christ is to love one another. We have the law of God, which if we talk about the Ten Commandments and all. But you hear the law of Christ. The law of Christ is, hey, love your neighbor as yourself. Love those that despitefully use you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you. He said, I want you to love them and I want you to pray for them. Amen. See, pride will hinder that. Pride will stand in the way and say, hey, give them what they're dishing out. Pride to get in the way, and that look, who do you think you are? Pride, as we used to say, will bow up on you. Surely some of y'all have heard that. And you know, when we was in school and we'd say, hey, don't come up here bowing up on me. Pride on both sides. Now we done doing a little dance. And most time at our school, one was scared, none was glad of it. The best fights at our school was girls. I was taking Kim home from school one time and pulled there. She lived right there, Harley's station. Edgewood. I started to say Highland Avenue. That's the name of the church. Edgewood Avenue. And we pulled down there one day, and the whole road was full of young people. I said, what are they doing? Look, it's two girls. They wasn't looking. I said, I ain't got time for this. I drove right in the middle. I broke that thing up. But it's pride. Hey, whoa now. That's pride. God hates it. Amen. Hey, pride's got some of us whipped, didn't it? So there have been times in my life, pride got me to talk back to mama. Yeah. A few times when I go to pray and mama plea, I pray to mama. Not Mary, but to mama. Please don't tell daddy. Please don't tell daddy. Amen. I lived in the time that little old woman smacky face. She grabbed me one morning, going to shake me. I was bigger than this. She was this tall, about 115 pounds. And she grabbed me. She was going to shake me, and I never moved, but she was. I didn't even snigger because I knew what was she's fixing to say. 3 o'clock's coming, big boy. Your daddy gets off. Pride will get you in trouble. God hates it. Then the second thing is this, lying tongue. Of course, I don't have to spend a lot of time here. We know what lying is. It's telling untruth. One that practices a lifestyle of lying, listen now, one that practices lying, all of us have told a lie before. I'm fixing to open up a can of worms. Is it ever right to lie? Don't answer that out loud now. I ain't done. Is it ever right to lie? If someone busted in my house and got to jump on me, put a gun in my head and said, and my wife and daughter had run and hid in the closet, where's your wife and daughter? I'm not going to tell him the truth. So don't go looking the loopholes of lie. I'm just saying, Abraham lied.
He did. That's right. He sure did.
Fear causes us to lie. But you ain't scared all the time. And your life is very, very rarely been in jeopardy like that. So I think I can stand on the authority of God's word and say it's sin to lie, and God hates it. And we've all told a lie and had to repent, but those that practice lying, those that have a lifestyle lying, y'all believe the Bible? Revelation 21:8, all liars should have their part in the lake of fire. Those that have a lifestyle of lying, if their lips are moving and lying, politician. Poly means many. Tick is a bloodsucker. Many bloodsuckers, they lie. Y'all didn't know you're going to learn all this tonight, did you? How do you know when a politician's lying? They're talking. Back in the old days, I had an old preacher tell me this back when I surrendered to preach. He said, there's 3 ways of communication. There's 100,000 ways now. I said, what are they? He said, telephone, telegraph, tell a woman. And I said, that ain't that way no more. It's telephone, telegraph, tell a preacher. Some preacher's the biggest gossip in America. K-Ron, what's wrong with you over there? Telling it like it is, ain't you? Amen. She knows. She knows it's right. Come on, Courtney, I got to get right with God. Lying goes against the nature of God. God is truth. Christ said, I'm the way, the what? The truth. Amen. And the life. 1 Timothy 4:2, one of the things you will see in the latter days is what? People speaking lies and hypocrisy. I'm going to tell you this, folks. I check behind everything anybody ever told me. Unless you know there's some folks, I trust you folks, I understand that. But if somebody just comes up and says something to you, tells you something, nowadays if they say, you know, some people tell me it's raining, I go look out the window. Amen. God hates a proud look. God hates a lying tongue. You know what I should do? I should hate pride in my heart. And I should go above and beyond not to have a lying tongue. Amen. Number three, hands that shed innocent blood. I'm going to say this. And when I say this, I want to say something to you. If this scar is on your life, and the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from this, I'm not trying to beat, and I don't know anybody, I don't think, well, who in the church? But I'm going to tell you something. These doctors that do the abortions, I'd hate to be them on Judgment Day. Amen. If they don't repent. Right. If they don't repent. If they don't get saved. They can get saved. Sure. They can get saved, and that'll be washed away. Preacher, I just don't get that. The blood of Jesus cleanseth. Or any other murder for that matter that does not repent. Y'all remember my good buddy, Tim's good buddy, Donald Rollins. Y'all remember Donald? His mama, y'all pray for Miss Dot. His mama got to come to the service today, and I could tell, boy, she had a stroke. And she told me she'd had three just back to back to back. And she took care of them boys, and her oldest boy drowned in Green River. Her middle son accidentally overdosed, and then Donald got pancreatic cancer, and she buried all three of them. She buried all three of them. And me and Donald, we had a lot of laughs in school, And I hadn't seen him in years. I mean, years, years. And I run into him at a gas station. And I just went to him. We started talking. And I didn't know he'd went into the military. And I didn't know he went to Iraq. And I didn't know the things. I didn't know. I hadn't seen him. And of course, invited him to church. He got his heart right with God. I baptized him. And we'd have the prayer meeting on Saturday night, and he'd come at about 7. He had a lot of issues, and he wasn't that same funny guy. You remember, he'd have you laughing your guts out, but it just, that was gone. That was gone in old Donald. And me and him was close enough, he'd talk to me, and the devil, even after he got saved, the devil would... I mean, torture his mind about having to kill people in that war. And he says, there's no way. Because he took that one verse about murderers. And I said, Donald, no, stop right here. I said, you're not a murderer. Nope. He said, well, you mean I had to kill people? I said, the book of Ecclesiastes says there's a time to kill and there's a time of war. I said, You were defending a nation.
Amen.
I was talking to a man a few years back, and the denomination, the whatever you want to call it, he says, the only difference, and he gave me a couple of differences. One of the differences, he said, we're passive. And I didn't really understand that word at the time. It's been years ago. I said, what does that mean? He said, we don't believe in going to war. I said, well, who does? I said, but sometimes you have to. And I patted him on the shoulder. I said, enjoy your freedom while somebody else dies for it. And I'm sure veterans battle that every day. But I'm going to say something to you. You're not a murderer if you're defending your family. folks, someone breaks in my house and they better have a quicker trigger finger than me. I'm too fat and old to fight. But these two fingers are in good shape. Do I want to do that? No. Am I looking, Lord, God forbid. But that don't make you a murderer. Going out and killing folks that's never done nothing to you. Hey, and guess what? If they do, don't mean you got to kill them. You understand what I'm telling you? Hands that shed innocent blood. Hands that shed innocent blood. God said, I hate it. I hate it. These babies are innocent. They're innocent. And y'all may not like this, but you know, I'm a preaching. You say, well, this child was conceived in this. If God didn't want them here, they wouldn't be here. Them babies, we love them. Amen. Two things rouse me up, and this is pride, God help me, is mistreating babies and elderly people. People that cannot defend themselves. I'll put you in the figure four. Number four, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Folks, look at the pornography industry. Look at the casinos. Look at the drug dealers. Look at all these things. Wicked imaginations. Y'all said, I hate that. Feet that are swift in running to mischief. It's been said that the heart blazes the trail and the feet follow. Feet that are swift to run into mischief. Mischief, things that are not lawful. Six, a false witness that speaketh lies. Now here he is again dealing with lies. The person, get this, that willingly has a plan, get a hold of this. What is a false witness that speaketh lies? Somebody that lies may not be bearing false witness against someone else, but a false witness that speaketh lies. What do you mean? Someone, will I decide I didn't like you, and I'm deciding I'm going to get something on you, then I start telling lies on you to him. Right. And can I say this to you? Stretching the truth is a lie.
Amen. That's right. Exactly right.
Oh, I just told a little white lie, no such animal. You know, young people, y'all listen up here. Don't get at your heart. Middle-aged people, listen to me. Don't let your heart. Older folks, don't let your heart get to a place of such jealousy and such insecurity that you'd be willing to tear down someone else. Because I promise you, you reap that you sow. It's coming to get you. It's coming to get you unless you repent. And I believe if you tell a lie on somebody and you do it intentional. Folks, I had to go back and straighten things out because I'm just going to be honest with you. I try not to do that anymore. Go off of hearsay. You get in trouble that way. How you know? I've gotten in trouble that way. I'm just telling you the truth. I've gotten in trouble that way. And I've had to go back and get it right with God and get it right with them. Hey, I said, I listened to the wrong voice. I'm sorry. Now, just take everything with a grain of salt. You know, if we all just love one another. Huh? Me and my sisters getting one of them knockdown drag outs. And I tell you, worse than a whooping is when my daddy made us hug each other and tell each other we loved each other. I had to hug him two mean old girls. I said, don't go tell your mama I said that. She'll tell Sheila. She'll come to the house and whip me tonight. We'll love each other. I don't want to hurt you. Hey, as a matter of fact, somebody says, oh, so, so good. Yeah, they're great people. Oh, they're great, and I mean that. Don't come up here trying to act like you're going to talk about them to me. Uh-uh. No, we're not going to do that. Sabbath, time's gone. He that soweth discord among the brethren. So, as in scattering seed or a seed on something or on the ground or in the ground. Discord is in music, unharmony or disagreement in notes. Spiritually speaking, when someone plants disagreements among the brethren, you're sowing discord. Sometimes misunderstandings happen, but that's not the same animal. It's someone that goes about sowing discord. Sowing discord. Hey, folks, you understand that in the ministry, and again, folks, I've not arrived. Don't misunderstand me. And I'm not acting like I'm super spiritual. I've learned a lot by mistakes. But just because you've seen somebody while Patsy walked by and went, now her, don't mean you got to run and go tell her. Hmm? You're sowing discord. Oh, they walked by you. And you know, they may not have even meant that way. What you'll do is go pray. Lord, if I seen that right, there's a problem there. And we all brothers and sisters in Christ, let's get along. Lord, just touch that situation. But when you run to them and tell them, all you're doing is throwing gas on it. Yeah. Next thing you know, we in a fuss, we in a fight, we in a ruckus. Spirit of God's grieved. God said, I hate that. I hate somebody that runs and sows discord among the brethren. I hate that. We first started the church. I had these concerned people. They were concerned for me. You don't want to start a church with that person, that person, that person. They're just this, that, and the other. I didn't tell one of them what they said. I didn't tell one of them. I didn't go to one of them. Said, you know, that so-and-so told me that you are nothing but a troublemaker. I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Folks, God hates those seven things. And my problem with me tonight is, do I really hate all of them? Do I really hate them? I mean, think about that. Do we really hate them? You know, that's a good prayer too. Lord, I want to hate what you hate. So you can hate like God hates and still have a right spirit. Still have a loving heart. Amen? God help us. Let's all stand. Come on, Courtney. Let's get this altar call going. Altar's open if you need to come.